Hi guys, my name is Carrie and I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm going to dive right in because we have a big chunk of the book to go through today. Not necessarily a lot of pages, but a lot of content. So forgive me for not going through my whole name, rank, and serial number. I'm going to just go dive right into page 83. We left off last week at the end of the ninth step, which is a perfect place to start on 10 and 11. But before we do, we didn't get to the ninth step promises. And that is a portion that I don't like to rush through because of my experience, my personal experience with the ninth step promises. So I'm going to share a little bit about that because when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard those ninth step promises being read in meetings. And I wasn't listening to when some of the meetings would say ninth step promises. I heard the AA promises in my head. I'm sure that's not what was said. I'm sure that they called them what they were. I didn't know that they were from the big book. They were reading them off of a laminated page, so I didn't know that what they were. And they sounded very nice. But, my unreasonable expectations was, when do I get these promises? Like, it's been 90 days. I've done 90 and 90. I've graduated treatment. I've done, like, when, how come these things aren't materializing from me? Like, where's mine? Right. And what I didn't realize is these come on page 83 and 84 as a result of having done everything up until page 83 and 84. And I just didn't understand that for the longest time. So I'm gonna read it a little bit slower than what you normally hear in a meeting. And hopefully, if you're new or nearly new, first, welcome. And second, if you're waiting for those ninth step promises to materialize for you and you haven't done all the work up until nine, that's where the dots aren't connecting. So, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, what phase? Page 83. So up until our ninth step amends, right? The ninth step promises come after all those different ways that they laid out on how to make an amends to the man we hated, how to make amends to who's dead or unreachable, to the family, to domestic, to financial amends, legal amends, ex-spousal amends, business amends. Like, it goes through all of that stuff. And now, after the directions of how to start cleaning up the wreckage of the past, of my drinking past, that's when I'm at this phase of my development. We will be amazed before we're halfway through. Halfway through with what? This phase of my development, the ninth step. Not halfway through with the AA steps, not halfway through with my sobriety, not halfway through with my first 90 and 90, not halfway through with my first year. Halfway through with this phase of my development, cleaning up the wreckage of my past, my ninth step. And for me, and I told you guys when we were on the fifth step that the fifth step promises didn't like come flush rushing in as soon as I got done with my fifth step for some reason. I don't know. That's just my experience. This is one of the promises. This is one of the readings that came exactly almost eerie for me. Like, by the time I was halfway done with my ninth step amends, I started having these promises materialize. So this one was right on schedule. Couldn't have planned it better if I tried. So if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, the ninth step amends process, we will be amazed before we are halfway through with the ninth step. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. These are the opposite of the bedevilments, right? Like, only, I don't know, 20 pages before, 30 pages before, page 54, or whatever the bedevilments are on. Like, this is a very short time after that second step where I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I'm bedeviled with these things. And now I start noticing, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see that our experiences can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity that the bedevilments talk about will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I never thought, not in a million years, I did not come to AA to be useful to God and those about me. That is not one of my incentives to come to AA. I didn't think in a million years that I would gain interest in being useful to other people. And it happened almost automatically. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. That's a huge promise. That's a huge statement right there. And that happened for me. That's my experience. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. One of my biggest hangups, right? Like, I'm just going to share something kind of personal with you. I grew up in a household where my dad never had a credit card. He never paid for anything that he couldn't pay for cash with. That's how I was raised. And I've, to this day, I don't, you know, I've never had a credit card. I've never had a car payment. If I can't afford cash, I don't buy it. I live in a house that is paid off. I don't share that with you for any reason but this. Okay. I have always been extra super responsible with finances, but I've always been insanely, insecure with finances. For instance, we owned a construction company. If we didn't have the contract signed for the house that came after the house that came after the house that we were on, oh, I was a mess. Like, I was just, you know, and even though we had plenty of money, even when we were making, you know, six figure income, it was coupon, double coupon. We don't go out to eat unless we have a buy one, get one free. I mean, it was insane, right? And by the time I was halfway done with my ninth step, I didn't even notice this. But, and it, you know, some who might have an issue with spending might think that this is a bad thing. For me, it was a good thing. I wasn't using coupons. I can still be frugal, but I wasn't obsessing. I wasn't in tears. I was actually living in faith that God would provide. What is that? Like, what is that? I just had my entire life savings last month stolen. I'm just going to call it what it is. That sounds really weird because I've never had anything stolen from me in my entire life. I don't even lock my, you know, I leave my keys in the ignition in my car, right? They're out there right there now. But it's true. I've had my entire life savings taken from me, by a, you know, a dishonest person. And my genuine thoughts today, and this is not fake, you guys, my genuine prayer is thank God that I have my integrity even without the money, rather than the person who stole my money, their integrity even with my money. I am happy with who I am today, and I've never been able to say that. And that came as a result of these nine step promises after having been through the first nine steps. And it says fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. It's been 13 years and it hasn't come back. I know that you'll hear in meetings, and I've heard in meetings, and I believe it, that these promises will come and go, right? I'm not willing to test that. I'm not willing to stop doing the work. I'm not willing to get off of 10, 11, and 12 to test that. But for me, they've come and they haven't left. Not a single one of these has left since I experienced them. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, which comes from Bill's story, page 11, right? Because all of these instructions come from Bill's story. Are these extravagant promises? In the meetings that I went to, everybody would mindlessly chant, "We think not," because that's what it says in the book. But there was this one guy, Josh M. He lives in Las Vegas now, but I couldn't stand him. He was the guy, the little smart butt in the meeting that every time these were read in the meetings and somebody would say, "Are these extravagant promises?" And everybody, including myself, because I'm a conformist by now, don't you know? I'm a good AA girl, and I'm going to chant mindlessly, "We think not," with the rest of the cult, you know? And he used to say, "Hell yeah!" And I used to get so upset with him, right? And now I realize, if you look up the word extravagant, Josh M. was the only one in the whole room that was right. Hell yeah, they're extravagant. The word extravagant means unreasonable and extremely excessive. These promises are extremely excessive. They do not sound like something that would materialize. The reason that the book says "we think not" is because the authors who wrote the book were at page 84 when they wrote page 84. These promises had started materializing. So they thought not, but a brand new newcomer like me, who's just going to mindlessly follow the herd and chant, "We think not." Yeah, they're extravagant. Heck yeah, they're extravagant. And I'm not a fake it till you make it girl. And I was doing it without even thinking about it. I was doing it without even thinking about it, with perfectly good intent. Are these extravagant promises? By the time we're halfway through the amends process, we think not. Because they've materialized, right? They are being fulfilled among us. This is the first 100 talking that have already gotten these promises, having come true for them. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I don't know what I was thinking the work was when I was new sitting in the meetings going, "Where's mine?" But the work is in this book, right? The work is an honest self-appraisal. The work is going to those I've harmed and honestly trying to make up for my harms done. And being able to look the world in the eye, being able to hold my head up high, being able to not have to dodge in the dollar store because somebody I owe money to is over there, or somebody I did that to is over there, right? Like that's what this program is about. That's what these 9-step promises are about. So having said that, these promises materialized for me. So now what's next? Because after doing the first 9 steps, like, oh my gosh, I want more, right? I mean, anything that's good, I want more of. Well, let's move on to step 10. So step 10, the directions for step 10 is simply just one paragraph. It's a big paragraph, not a long paragraph, but a big one. It is a meaty paragraph. So step 10, we know where it is because of the italics and the words. Step 10 is in italics, right? So it says, "This thought brings us to step 10. I'm on paragraph 3 of page 84, which suggests we continue. That's the first time it uses the word continue. And whenever this paragraph uses the word continue, I encourage you to highlight it, because it uses it not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 4 times. Because step 10 is just continued action from what we just learned in the principles that I just acquired by working steps 4 through 9, right? That's all step 10 is. It's like, oh, I'm done with steps 4 through 9. Now we continue, 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 continue. And this is another place where I love in the book, because this is the paragraph, this one that says, "This thought brings us to step 10, where the language switches. it flips. It does a complete 180 from it, up until this point. Our literature read, this is what we did, this is what we prayed, this is what we said. And from this point on, because these are the maintenance and growth steps, all of a sudden, for the rest of the 12 steps, which is 10, 11, and 12, the instructions are going to say, this is what we do. This is what we pray. This is what we write. This is what we, you know, everything's going to be present tense because it's not a once and done, right? And these things, I mean, this is where the language from, instead of saying, and we have completed step 7, now the language is going to be more along the lines with, and this is not an overnight matter, and this should continue for a lifetime. And this, you know, like it's going to really emphasize that these are daily steps. So this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory, right? Which is steps 4 and 5. Continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living, not after we cleaned up the past. Okay. Step 10 doesn't come after we're completed with all of our ninth step amends. Thank goodness, because I wasn't able to give my husband a ninth step amends until I was 5 years sober. So it says we vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past, right? The amends are occurring. I'm starting to get some relief, starting to get some ninth step promises materializing for me. Now I'm ready to start on step 10, 11, and 12, my daily living steps. So we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Now that I'm a recovered alcoholic, what's next? Well, if we don't grow, we go. So now I get to grow in understanding of you and effectiveness of myself, how I can be more effective and how I can understand you better. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So what does that say? Basically says, watch for character defects, right? Number one, there's 5 parts to a 10th step. That's number one, watch for your character defects. When, not if, these crop up, because I'm a recovered alcoholic, but I didn't recover from humanism, and hopefully I never will. Can you imagine how boring that would be? Ugh. But I'm working on my usefulness and my effectiveness, right? And my understanding. But when these crop up, again, not if, when these crop up, my character defects, number two, this is the second piece of the formula, pray. Because every time it says we ask, you got to put a box around that word ask, and that's a prayer. We ask God at once to remove them. Number three part, we discuss them with someone immediately. So I call or text my sponsor. She's the person who I find most beneficial to discuss this stuff with because she's heard my fifth step. She's heard 10 years of my 10th steps. So she is going to respond to me in a way that, you know, maybe the newest home group member won't, right? She's going to respond to me in a way that I'm going to call her and she's going to say, oh, this again, Carrie. Or she's going to say, oh, this is new, you know, because she knows my patterns. She knows my shortcomings. She knows my history. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. That's number four, making amends. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I used to sit in meetings going, love and tolerance is your guys' code. You need to love and tolerate me, right? No, love and tolerance of others is our code. I need to have the love and tolerance. But the word resolutely, right? The word resolutely means to resolve the situation. So I resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So for me, you know, I'm just going to tell a quick story. I was having a one-on-one with a sponsee. She's not in the room, I don't think. Okay. Well, you know what? Even if she was, I sponsor enough women that you guys aren't going to know who I'm talking about. But I was having this one-on-one with a sponsee who unfortunately lately has been going to a lot of meetings, and you can tell. So she, we're on this one-on-one, and she says to me, when we do a one-on-one after they're through the steps, it's like, well, how's 10 and 11 going, right? How's your sponsees going? How are your prospects? Blah, 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 blah. And this was just this last week. And I said, so how's 10 and 11 going? Because I haven't heard from you lately. I haven't gotten any 10th step work. I haven't, how's this going? Are you doing these things? Oh, yes. Oh, you would be so proud of me. Because at work, somebody really offended me. And well, instead of retaliating or anything, I just sat with my feelings. You did what? Yeah. So and so in the such and such meeting said that we're lucky today because we can sit in our feelings and we can feel our feelings. Excuse me? I'm sorry. Who said what? Oh, yeah. Now that we're sober, we get to feel our feelings. The good news is that we get to feel our feelings, and the bad news is we get to feel our feelings. Okay, and when did this happen? 4 days ago. And how do you feel about it now? Well, I'm still resentful. I mean, it's still upsetting. I'm still okay. So let's go back to the directions here. Because what this says is when these crop up, the resentment, the fear, the dishonesty, the selfishness, we ask God at once to remove them, not 4 days later. I don't have to sit in my feelings. I have a program of action, right? So we ask God at once to remove those feelings, not pat ourselves on the back because we get to sit in those feelings today and we can do that without drinking. No. And then it says we discuss them with someone when? Immediately. It says immediately. Like these directions even give time frames, not 4 days later. And make amends when? Quickly. Like these are some very guiding words. They're very directive. They give a time frame. And so then I'm at a 10th step meeting on Thursday, which is the day after I had this one-on-one with a sponsee, and I'm hearing this stuff read, and I'm starting to feel, oh my gosh, you know what? And this is brand new for me. This is so awesome because I was so judgmental of her. I mean, my original thought, right? Today I'm not judgmental anymore. I did my work and blah blah blah. But I was so judgmental of this whole situation. And I'm sitting in the 10th step meeting on Thursday at my home group at noon, and I'm listening to others share, and I'm realizing, oh my God. I used to sit in the 11th step meeting, which is what we're doing next week. And I used to say, I like to share on the things I'm good at and not like the things I'm not good at. And when the 11th step says this will become a working part of the mind, which we'll get to today, tonight, I used to say, now this hasn't become a working part of my mind yet. And I don't know when it has, when it will, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, oh my God, I was judgmental toward her because this has become a working part of my mind. This is amazing. Like it only took 13 years, but it's amazing because I practiced this enough to where now it is my go-to. How am I going to be resentful of a new person? But this is my go-to because I've practiced it, right? And no, I don't get to be judgmental of other people who haven't gotten there. Like I was that for 13 years. And I'm just now getting into the just now getting into I guess not even having to think about it. Like it has become a working part of my mind. And that's beautiful and it's amazing. And sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. And I don't know when it'll happen for anyone else, but it feels pretty good that it might be happening for me. So I don't, let's knock on wood. Okay. So, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So these are the 10th step promises. This is just my favorite promises in the big book. I heard the ninth step promises over and over and over and over again in the beginning of my sobriety. And I did not come, like I said, to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and those about me. I wanted to know how to quit drinking. I was so selfish that I didn't care about becoming less selfish, And so the ninth step promises were not something I was really after. They weren't even attractive to me. The 10th step promises, now those, if those were read when I was new, that would have been like dangling a carrot in front of the horse, right? Because this is why I came to AA in the first place. The 9th step promises, beautiful bonuses. The 10th step promises, a miracle. A miracle. And it uses the word miracle. So, and we've ceased fighting anything or anyone. All right. Even alcohol. What? Even alcohol? Like, I don't know how to cease fighting alcohol. I get in the ring with King Alcohol and I get my butt handed to me and I'm right back up for round two, right back up for round three. I don't know how to tap out. I don't know how to cease fighting. And by the time we got here in my big book, and my sponsor told me, now it's your turn to read. And that's what she did here. She read to me all the way up until this part because I couldn't read. When I came to AA, I couldn't read. I'd never read a book in my life. And I learned how to read off of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when she told me, now I can start reading here, I hesitated. And she said, I'll help you to sound out the words. And I read this next part and I felt it in my gut. I felt it with every fiber of my being because it had become true for me. It says, for by this time, sanity will have returned. Now, I understand that we like to joke and, oh yeah, I'm still insane. I don't know. No, alcoholic insanity is what this book is talking about. It's not talking about the funny things that we say about, oh, I feel so insane. I had road rage today. Nothing like that. Alcoholic insanity is having no mental defense against that first drink. It's getting in the ring with King Alcohol over and over and over again and not being able to tap out no matter how bad you want. And that sanity had returned for me. She said, how long has it been since you drank? I couldn't remember it. Months, months. I tapped out. We will seldom be interested in liquor. And get this, if tempted, we recoil as if from a hot flame. What? Because on page 24, it says that we continue to touch the hot stove over and over again. We don't know how to, continue to not continue to touch that hot stove. And now, instead of touching that hot flame, now we recoil as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor, not toward people, places, and things. People, places, and things is a whole nother 12-step fellowship. This is toward liquor. If I'm sitting here talking about people, places, and things and my Cadillac problems, and the person in the corner is dying of alcoholism, because they can't stop killing themselves with liquor, I'm doing them a disservice. We see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. What? I can go in the cheese aisle, even though it shares the aisle with the beer. Oh yeah, honey, you can go even to the most sordid spot on earth now on such an errand. What? Yep. I mean, honestly, by the time this miracle happened for me, I had no desire to go to those places that I used to go to, but I can. And I'm a free woman. And I didn't know that there was freedom from alcohol up here. I thought I was in AA so that I had freedom from alcohol from picking up that first drink and drinking it. I didn't know that the freedom came from not wanting to drink anymore. And that is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality. Anybody who knows me knows that I've never been in a position of neutrality over any topic before of my in my entire life. I'm an extremist, and I'm finally at a position of neutrality when it comes to alcohol. Safe and protected. We have not even sworn it off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Wow. The problem has been removed. I don't have to stay in the rooms of AA dying one day at a time, white knuckling it from one meeting to the next. No. There's a solution, like a real one. I can recover from this. Freaking phenomenal. So, like I said to my sponsor, give me my graduation certificate. I am out, right? Recovered alcoholic, where's my trophy? Graduation day. And my sponsor says, whoa, slow your roll, right? Gear down, big rig. Here's the deal. If it was a 9-step program, you would have your graduation certificate. However, we got three additional steps for after you recover, and that's how you stay recovered. So, although the 10th step promises are very exciting, let's move on to the next paragraph and read what the 10th step threats say. So then we progress to the 10th step warnings, if you don't like threats. It is easy to let off up on our spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. Yeah, especially after the problem's been removed. It's like, well, now I'm recovered, I'm cured, I'm done. Yeah, I'm going to let up on the spiritual program of action. I don't like doing anything unless I have to. But we're headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on, and what this doesn't say, and I'm just going to be very clear, what this does not say, because I hear it misquoted sometimes, is it doesn't say that we have a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual condition. And I'm so glad that it doesn't say that our daily reprieve is contingent on our spiritual condition, because my spiritual condition isn't the best every day. I'm not in fit. I would have been drunk over and over and over again if my daily reprieve was contingent on my spiritual condition. What it does say, and I have it highlighted, and this is why I call them the maintenance steps, even though, yes, they're growth steps too, but it says this daily reprieve is contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Maintenance is an action word. So what that means is even when I don't want to, I get to show up. Even when I don't want to, even when I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I get to take the action anyway, even when I don't want to. I get to take an honest self-appraisal every day, even when I don't want to. I get to call my sponsor and tell on myself for doing something stupid, even when I don't want to. I get to ask God to remove my judgment of you and my self-righteous indignation and all of my things that make me feel so good, even when I don't want to. Because this is an action program. It's a program of action. I get to pick up the phone when I see that it's my sponsee who I know is just going to be complaining yet again about her husband's program or whatever the case, even when I don't want to. And that's what this daily reprieve is. It's taking the actions even when I don't want to. Because it's a maintenance. This is my maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. Now, this is a contingency, this next sentence, and I have it highlighted. If we have carefully followed directions, There are directions in this book, and they are clear cut up until here. Actually, they're clear cut all the way up until the 12th step. That's when they're no longer clear cut because we don't organize our 12th step, right? Tradition nine. So we have carefully followed, if we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We've begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action, 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 and more action. So now we're on step 11. Now, how do we know it? We're on step 11 is because it says in italics, step 11. Step 11 at the bottom of page 85 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we have been using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and we work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So before we go into it, when we retire at night, which is sometimes erroneously known as a 10th step, which is not done at night, this is the 11th step. The 10th step is inventory, and nowhere throughout the entire 11th step does it even mention the word inventory. It's a constructive review of the inventory I already took during the day when I was doing my 10th step. So, one of the things that I want to point out is when I first started sponsoring a lot of women, I already told you I'm not a fake it till you make it girl. And it took me a while to get a good understanding of this step. And so we would get to this step, and all of a sudden, I would assign you an 11th step sponsor. Her name was Deanne. I still know her. Because I didn't feel like I had something that I could give away. Because when I tried to meditate, this is what happened to my brain. This is what my meditation looked like, because in my head, and I've heard in a lot of like on TV and stuff, that meditation is clearing all thought, right? It's clearing away your thoughts and emptying your mind. And I would try that, and it would look like this. Okay, think of nothing. Oh, did I leave the coffee pot on? Oh, no. Clear your mind. Okay, think of nothing. I brushed, but did I floss? Like that, squirrel, right? And that's what my meditation consisted of. And so I failed miserably. And so I would take my sponsees through the first 10 steps, give them away to another sponsor, and then take them back when they were on step 12. And what I realize now is I was looking at what the outside world and some AA meetings think is meditation. Because when this book was written, the word meditation was a two-word definition. It meant thoughtful contemplation. Thoughtful? I thought we clear our mind of our thinking. Oh, no, contraire. No. This whole step is about thinking, thinking, and more thinking, and then some more thinking. I mean, let us think about the next 24 hours a day. We consider our time, our plans for the day, direct our thinking, employ our mental faculties, which is another way of saying thinking. When thinking is, I mean, our thinking about the day, an intuitive thought or decision, working part of the mind. I mean, the whole step is about thinking, not about not thinking. And so I was so misinformed because I wasn't just reading the black words on the white pages. And so my first clue should have been where it said it would be easy to be vague about this matter. Go YouTube some, guided meditations and do what you want. But no, it doesn't say that. It says it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. And then it goes through bullet points. The next paragraph is 7-11, right? It's the seven questions under step 11. And it tells me exactly what to think, and it tells me when to think it. It's amazing. It's a constructive review. It is not a destructive inventory. I take inventory throughout the day, And then at the end of the day, when I retire at night, which is why retire at night comes before upon awakening, is because hopefully I've been living in my 10th step throughout the day. And now I'm going to retire at night and I constructively review my day. It's just a review of my inventory. I'm not here to take inventory. I already did that. If I had to take inventory right before I had to lay my head down and try to sleep with all these thoughts of, oh, I should have done that better. I could have done that. I need to make amends there and I need to make up for that there. Then I wouldn't sleep, right? I mean, ideally, I've already cleaned up all throughout the day promptly at once, right? So now it's at the end of the day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Notice this doesn't say where were we resentful? Where were we selfish? Where were we dishonest? It's just asking yes or no. Were we these things? If yes, then do we owe an apology? If no, have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Where were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, right? Because an inventory right before bed would do that to me, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. So after making our review, we ask God, again, a review, not an inventory. It doesn't mention inventory in step 11. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Now, we go to bed. I can sleep easy because hopefully I've already cleaned up everything as I went about my day. And now on awakening, it tells me exactly what to do for meditation upon awakening. It says, let us think about the next 24 hours ahead. So how do I do that? It's going to even give me detailed things to think about. It says, okay, we're going to prepare to think. So how do we do that? Well, we are going to consider our plans for the day. But before we begin, because this step is about prayer and meditation, it's going to offer me a little prayer to set myself up for success in thinking about the next 24 hours a day. So before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, right? Not to wipe away my thinking, but to direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. So God, please remove dishonesty, self-seeking, self-pity. Under these conditions, right, after asking God to remove those things, we can employ our mental faculty. Now, I'll tell you what, before I got to this step, my mental faculties were unemployable. They had no employability. And that's why I think that sign that says think, think, think is usually hung upside down in meetings, is because when I got here, that sign wasn't for me. Not until I get to this step. That's when I can turn the sign right side up. That's when I can finally start using the brain God gave me. So under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. So before I begin, I know that this is going to sound like blasphemy to those 20-minute meditators and those people who are far advanced than me in meditation. But I meditate with my phone on in the mornings. The first thing I do is I turn my phone on and I open my calendar, because that's where my next 24 hours ahead is. That's, I'm looking for my plans for the day. That's what this says to do. And it so happens that my next plans for the day are in my phone. And so that's where I go. And I look at those next 24 hours a day. I consider my plans for the day. In thinking about my day, I may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. So here we ask another prayer, God, for inspiration and an intuitive thought or decision. Asking God for more thinking. we relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. I'm finally surprised that the right answers are starting to come. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Been there. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. It's 5:50. Dang it.
Keep going. Keep going.
Okay. We usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will. Sounds a lot like the third step, right? That's why there's some people say that they do a third step every day. I don't. I've taken one third step. And then I follow the 11th step, which is doing this. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped, which comes directly from page 13 in Bill's story. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Now, if circumstances warrant, which for me they don't, we ask our wives or our friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. There's a highlight. Not instead. You go to church? Great. Do that also. Not instead. You go to yoga? Wonderful. Do that also. Not instead. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also, not instead. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one priest, from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Where do we get that? From page 11 of Bill's story. Make use of what they offer. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful, and we ask for the right thought or action. This sounds like step three. I'm sure that when people do this is what they're talking about when they say they take a third step every day. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day in the 11th step, "Thy will be done." I have to turn my will over to God many times each day. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more and more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in this simple way we just outlined. Clear cut instructions. There's no more clear cut instructions or directions than what we just read in steps 1 through 11. So now going into step 12, because at this point in the book, we just finished steps 1 through 11, very clear cut. But now it says, but this is not all. It's not an 11-step program. Oh, no, no, no. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. Well, what kind of work? Oh, well, the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12, working with others. That's what type of work we're supposed to be doing. How do I know? Again, comes directly from Bill's story. Let's flip back to page 14. Bill's story, page 14, last paragraph. When Bill's moving in from his 11th step into his 12th step, he says, "My friend emphasized the absolute necessity, not the suggestion. The absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all of my affairs." What does that sound like? It sounds like the second part of the 12th step, right? Practicing these principles in all of our affairs. "Particularly, it was imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, how? Through work and self-sacrifice for others. That's what faith without work is dead means, working with others. He couldn't survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he didn't work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. And for us, it's just like that. So moving on to step 12 next week. Just want to give a couple of definitions before I send you back to Brooke. Discipline, right? Because it says we alcoholics are undisciplined. I love the definition of discipline here because it says orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. So I think that the instructions in this 11th step that we just went over I would consider orderly and prescribed conduct in a pattern of behavior. It lays it out so incredibly perfect for me. We will start on working with others next week and learn how to put our money where our mouth is. Faith without works is dead means talk is cheap. Thanks.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.